Shalom, Mishpucha, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That's family, by the way. Live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as on the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. This is John Bartlett, your smiling co-host, with our lively teacher and ongoing student of God's Word, Sheila Crawford. So glad you decided to join us tonight. As we ask the Almighty to bless tonight's study, whose goal is to encourage and assist the body of Christ to grow deeper into Him with an intense passion, especially because we, here at Shofar Ministries, really do believe we are in the final days before the imminent rescue of His saints. Abba, Father, we just come before You. We just want You to increase our desire for more souls to be saved, more people coming into Your kingdom, Lord. We want them to know the true Savior, the true Jesus, the real Jesus, Lord. We just ask for those that are all the souls that You can give us, and help us to be ready to give them an answer if they ask us why we believe what we do. And Lord, we just ask You, and of course we praise You and thank You for every program that Your Spirit is very much here. And we thank You for that, that You're always involved with our broadcasts. And just may the urgency of what You want Your body to hear tonight just come out in this broadcast. And we pray in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Todalaka, John, and God bless all the listeners tonight as we continue our discussion on the seven churches. And we are currently looking at Thyatira, which I believe connects to Revelation 17 and 18. So our topic is on Babylon, particularly tonight, Mystery Babylon. And we'll be talking a lot about the Catholic Church because that's what Thyatira represents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time that we be honest with ourselves and talk about the other gospel that it teaches. And by doing that, it will help us to tell others that are still hung up there that they need to think about what they're doing and maybe leave, like I did.
Mm.
So, we talked about Babylon as far as its origin in Iraq and how Satan's throne was moved from Babylon to Pergamos in about 333 A.D. when Constantine endorsed Christianity, but compromised it with paganism. And it's still here today. Then we saw how the leaven really flourished in about 606 A.D. in the church named Thyatira. And its name actually means continual sacrifice. And that's fitting with the Mass because they continually re-sacrifice Jesus every time they do the Mass.
Interesting.
So, and then there's always the personal level as well because you have to do penance. It often works with indulgences, which helps you get out of purgatory sooner. And this is actually a place that they say you have to go to pay for your venial sins.
As if you know, that's a place to go to pay for venial sins that the work on the cross didn't cover. That's an abomination to deny the finished work of the cross.
It really is if you take it and understand what it's saying.
What they're really saying, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's huge. That's huge.
But we'll get into some mm-hmm. of this more in a little bit and other abominations as well. And the good news is that some finally did break away in about 1517, and we called it the Reformation.
Yeah.
It's where we got the name Protestantism because it means protest, so it's Protestantism. But anyway, it's represented by the Church of Sardis, which means remnant, and we'll discuss that later.
And by the way, I should mention the phone lines are open for your end-time questions or comments. The number, 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. Before we move on, just to remind you that this coming Thursday, the 24th, at Lakeshore Assembly of God at 7 p.m., and that's in Mentor at 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard, Sheila will be talking on this very topic of Babylon and answering your end-time questions that may come up right when she's talking. Isn't that cool? You can just listen, be right there and ask questions. Don't even have to call those numbers.
Yeah, they do ask a lot of questions.
And they
by
do,
the way.
And you take the time to answer them, and that's what makes this really, really good. So just Thursday, 24th, 7 o'clock, Lakeshore Assembly. Don't
we have a lot
that.
Of fun.
Yep. Oh, any pertinent news for us tonight? I especially think the listeners would like to know about the Israeli election.
Yes, actually, I don't have a lot of news, but I do want to comment on that. Everyone thought that Bibi Netanyahu was going to run away with it. Well, it's certainly not the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's very close. They think that he still will win. But the election process, although the same as ours, they vote for, but they vote for a party, where I guess we do too in a way, but they have many different parties. And basically, the right party is only getting a few extra seats. So that means in order for him to make his coalition of 61 seats, he's going to have to bring in a lot of the left liberals into his government.
Mm.
That's putting it as easy as I can say. Oh. And of course, by doing that means that it's more middle moderate than it is far right, which fits biblical prophecy because the Bible does say that Jerusalem will be divided. That's what is going to bring the judgment. And if Bibi was a landslide with right-wing party members,
mm-hmm.
he probably would be a little more reluctant to just give them whatever they want. But with more of the left, they probably will go along with Obama better.
So and it's going to tie his hands with a lot of the left.
I told you last week that Obama was trying to influence the Israelis, that if they vote for right-wing parties, that it would strain the U.S.-Israeli relations. And I think a lot of people listen to that because it's very close. Right, I couldn't even tell you who actually won when I left tonight. So we're going to talk more about that next week and what the results are and what he's going to do. The other thing is Benghazi, apparently Hillary is finally going to testify tomorrow about it. But I doubt that we're going to get much information, to tell you the truth. And in the meantime, there's still things going on in that area. More terrorism, kidnappings, Americans, hostages. The Italian foreign minister's car was shot at a few times. And he's just very thankful that he was in a bulletproof armored car. So anyway, that's really all the major news, except for the inauguration, of course. And I didn't want to watch it, so I didn't.
Okay.
Well, I did happen to see little pictures, and I saw her new hairdo
and her gown.
And her gown was pretty, and they danced. I saw some of that stuff, but that's about it.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Oh, I do want to mention one more thing about Syria.
So. Oh yeah. Okay.
Apparently, Russia's getting rid of or evacuating some like 30,000 of its nationals, soldiers, out of Syria now, because Syria is going to do some high-packed striking groups to attack a lot of the towns, villages, and areas where the rebels have captured. In other words, Assad has got some plans to go in with some armored strike groups and push them out of those cities.
Oh, really?
Lots of things will be happening, so the Russians got their men out of there.
Wow. I thought they were committed to them, but that's
well, they kind of are, but, you know.
Well, we have been looking. That ties up the news, doesn't it? Okay. We've been looking at a lot of history now these last few weeks, and this Babylon subject's very interesting. And we've seen the accurate descriptions of the church age as they're prophesied in the book of Revelation. And tonight we have even more. Once again, we encourage you to go to past programs. Catch up. It's very easy to do. It's shofarministries.net. Also, the phone lines are open, and we will answer your questions relating to the end times or Mystery Babylon. The number is 888-677-WORD.
Yes. All right. We saw how Babylonianism or paganism crept into the church a long time ago and has continued down through the centuries. And because we are looking at the church age prophetically, Babylonianism, or just plain heresy, plays a large role in a particular church still today. The descendants of Thyatira.
That was the fourth?
Yes, church. And we started talking mm-hmm. about that last week. Mm-hmm. But spiritual Babylon moved its ideological headquarters to Pergamum in Asia Minor, which is Turkey today, when the Persians took over the empire way back in 539 BC. They wanted their own religion, remember?
Right.
Zoroastrianism.
You remember Zoroastrianism.
Yes, I just, for some reason, just, I keep thinking of Zoro. And do you remember him, John?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Where is he now when we need him?
Yeah, I know. So, paganism had really expanded by the time Emperor Constantine, in 312 A.D., made Christianity the major religion.
Good.
But he allowed the leaven of paganism to infiltrate Christianity and grow. And he, I'll tell you what, after doing the research, he kept a lot of his paganism. He didn't get rid of it.
Oh.
So
okay.
I questioned his salvation as well.
Well, leaven always grows, so it started out as good news, but it ended up being really bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, this had to please the old enemy, Satan.
Yes. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, prior to the Church of Pergamum, it was represented by the Suffering Church at Smyrna. Okay, a lot of people died. But Christianity was still stronger than ever, even under heavy persecution and death. Just like the underground church is expanding in China. And many have died over there, and other countries as well. But just like Israel, the devil can't destroy us, John.
Amen. And we could probably use some of that persecution over here.
Yeah, in America. I think persecution has already started in America. Maybe not with death, but you can go to jail, and some have, for a hate crime if you talk against homosexuality. And taking prayer out of the schools, that to me was a form of persecution.
I can see that, yeah.
But we are the Church of Philadelphia. And we get stronger under persecution. There's just no doubt about it. And don't forget about the many tribulation saints who will die because they will not worship the beast.
Hmm.
So they'll have that persecution as well. But let's go back to the beginning real quick. Ephesus was the first church. That was about 33 A.D. until about 100 A.D. when persecution to the Christians began. And again, Jesus addressed them at Smyrna, and they just wouldn't give in.
Hmm.
So Satan comes along and says, well, you know what they say, if you can't beat them, join them. And that's what the enemy did, as we mentioned.
Right. He does have stamina, doesn't he?
Yes, he does, and he never quits.
He never quits.
Okay, so then we saw how paganism got into the Church of Pergamos, where Satan's throne now is, until Constantine, he actually moved it just a little bit north to a better area closer to Rome called Byzantium. And later they changed that to Constantinople, named after him. Today it's actually Istanbul in Turkey. But its headquarters moved again for the last time by an emperor called Phocas, a Roman emperor, and he wanted to move it to Rome.
Hmm.
And so he did in 607 A.D. Now, remember, prophetically, we just entered the church at Thyatira, and the headquarters is in Rome.
Interesting.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is all just connecting the dots to see if you can see that the Church of Thyatira was the beginning of what eventually is the full-blown mystery Babylon of Revelation 17.
Follow the leaven, leaven trail here.
So, now we know from records that after defeating the barbarians, this Emperor Phocas decided that he wanted the world church closer to him. Since the Pope, who was called Boniface, I think the fourth at the time, and he was working with him, they were working hand in hand in both political and religious affairs. So he transfers the title of the One World Universal Catholic Church from Constantinople to Rome. And so, still today, is headquartered in Rome. Actually, a city all its own.
That's Vatican City, isn't it?
It is. It's called Vatican City, where all the popes have resided ever since.
Hmm.
Rome is called the City on Seven Hills. Whose main colors, and this is going to be important because it helps connect these dots as well, The main colors are purple and scarlet. Now, the color purple was actually made. It was a dye that was made in Thyatira, which connects me to Acts 16:14 as verification. Can you read that?
Yes. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us, I guess Paul talking there. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. Now, why, I always wondered why that was in there. Why did we need to know that she was a seller of purple?
Exactly.
Unless she paid, you know, that was advertisement. She talked Paul and said, hey, put me in there. Would you in your letter?
I know. I remember reading that many years ago.
I've read it many times.
Now, why do I need to know that she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira?
I know.
But it's for the main reason that you have to connect the dots. So you know that the main color on the woman is purple.
Oh, okay.
And it goes back to Thyatira. Again, when you connect the dots, there's no doubt in my mind that Thyatira was the beginning of the
Mystery Babylon.
Yeah.
Hmm. And a color ties it in.
Well, how that interesting. And many
well,
other
I mean,
things.
Many other things, but I mean, and a color also. So. If you're looking for clues, you know, God is hoping that we look for clues in His Word and for, you know.
Do you remember that scripture that says it's the duty of kings, and we are kings and priests, to search out the matter that
yes.
God hides?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I can't remember where it
oh,
is.
Oh, that's a proverb. I'm pretty
yes,
sure.
Yes, I think it is. So that's what He does. He hides things, and then He gives us clues to find them. It's like a huge game.
It is.
I mean, it really is. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
And it can be fun, but people don't want to make it fun. You know, they think, oh, I'm reading this and I'm dry. It's dry. But if you do some research and start looking up your words, you'll find a lot of extra clues just doing that.
So,
back to the beginning here. The first three churches now, Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamos, prophetically are past tense. And they were not even given the blessed hope of Jesus' return. Okay? Where the next four tells you about the tribulation and the blessed hope. Oh, I can't wait for Jesus to return. I'm telling you what, I get more excited every single day.
I do too. I really can't wait for Him to return.
You know what? I think this would be a great time to play that song. Remember that song that says, I'm going home to Jesus?
Yes.
And I think that's by the Crab Family.
Crab Family.
Let's play that. Can you find that for me?
Great. It would go, you might know it. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment or I may not know the day. But I know that I'll be leaving when it calls this church away. He's a calling, get on board. The destination's heaven, safe on that crystal shore. We'll meet our splendid Savior and our loved ones that's gone before. We'll spend all eternity. Thank God I'm a boy. To sound almost any time. The crown of
in the twinkling of an eye. And I made my reservation for a mansion in the sky.
I'm listening for the trumpet to sound most any time. But the crown of life is waiting. Thank God it'll soon be mine. I got my invitation. How the place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was I'm Going Home with Jesus. Hope you are too. That was the Crab Family. We feature them a lot on our program, the Shofar Ministries Hour. Do you have a question for Sheila, or if you would like her to speak at your church or your group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net, or just give her a call at the office. It's 440-834-9006.
I just have to say, did you get your invitation at Calvary yet? That song has just had me going there.
It did. I saw you dancing on that one.
Yeah, that's just a great song. And again, I hope you do have your invitation.
Yes. And something not quite as important than that, but important. A reminder that your donations are still tax deductible.
That's very important, John.
Then they're still tax deductible as far as we know. At least this year. And, of course, they're very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. There are a lot of expenses that you never even think about. Sometime when we have more time, we can tell you about them. Send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021, or just use PayPal on our website. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter list, so include your address, whether it's email or your house address.
Right, either one is good.
Oh, that's good. Okay. And be sure to check out the webpage where all our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived, and we keep telling you that. And a lot of you go back there and listen to them and catch up with us that way.
And they're free.
And they're free. That's free to do. And it's easy, too. The website, thanks to Lou, works very well. You can order DVDs there as well. We have the phone lines open for your messianic eschatological questions. And I think that might be a question right there. What did I just say? 888-677-WORD, 888-677-9673. The Shofar Ministries Hour is here live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Why not recommend this program to a friend? Also, if you live in the Cleveland area, mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month, because we are at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, 11815 Chillicothe Road, and that's Route 306. We start at 7 p.m., this Thursday, just a reminder that, Sheila, you will be speaking at Lakeshore Assembly of God at 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard in Menor.
I'll be there, God willing.
Okay, now we need to continue with our study on Mystery Babylon and how it's tied in with Thyatira and how that's tied into the church today and
yes.
How many things, including the color purple.
That's right,
that ties
we talked
it
about
in
that.
Mm-hmm, purple dye.
I'll tell you what, I think now it would be a good time to read Mystery Babylon mm-hmm. in Revelation 17. If you could read verses 1 through 6, and then I'll make some comments as we go.
Okay, here we go. Then one of the seven angels who had had, no, I'll start again. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters.
And, of course, seven bowls means that it's the second part of the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
The bowls are at the end, the last ones. And also, if you're wondering what many waters is, if you just look forward to verse 15, it explains that just means many different groups of people.
Oh, okay. So the kings of the earth committed fornication, and with inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication.
Right. Of course, this is spiritual fornication, and they worshipped things other than just God. And because of that, they even got drunk on it.
Yeah.
Spiritual adultery by sharing his worship with other entities.
Interesting. So, he carried me away, I'm continuing in verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy.
Right, because this beast is going to declare himself God, and of course that's blasphemy.
Having seven heads and 10 horns.
Means he's very, very powerful and a ruler.
Okay, verse 4, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet.
There's that purple again. This dye was only made in Thyatira. And we know that during the church of Thyatira, which was a one-world church, they instigated the mass.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is associated with the Catholic Church, and we see the same colors worn in the Catholic Church quite often, actually.
Hmm. Okay, I'll take your word on that one. This woman was adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls.
Right. It just shows you that the church is very rich and still is.
All right. Now, that I know something about because I have visited shrines
mm-hmm.
online and taken a tour of them. And I'll tell you what, the thing that really distinguishes them from any shrine I've ever seen is the amount of gold and silver used in them.
Right. And have you ever visited that shrine to Mary? I'm not quite sure. Is it Troy? I'm not sure, somewhere in that area.
Yeah, it's on the way, way east side of Cleveland. Yes.
I was there one time and I just gasped.
You did?
Because it was so tall and people were just bowing down and worshiping her.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's right in my backyard. That's only about 20 minutes away from where I live.
Let's read a little bit further here about the woman on the beast. Having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth.
And I couldn't say it any better, but this golden cup, which carries the abomination and the filthiness of her fornication, is very interesting. Because if you know the Old Testament a little bit, you'll realize, and we're going to talk more about that here in a second, but you'll realize that a woman, in order to prove that she has not been cheating on her husband, had to actually go and take a cup full of this abominations, and I'll explain how that's done here in a minute,
okay,
and was made to drink it. So it's just amazing that it comes from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And we'll explain that. But I want to make another note, too, about this mystery. If you know anything about this Vatican II Council, that was basically the Constitution on the Church.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I forgot. I don't have the year written down there, but it wasn't that long ago. Maybe, I don't know, 100 years maybe at the most?
Hmm.
Maybe not that much. I'm not sure.
I'm
if
not
anybody
quite sure.
knows,
I know
you can
it
call
existed.
In and let me know.
Yeah, help us out here.
But the very first chapter in this Constitution on the Catholic Church is titled The Mystery of the Church.
So you thought that kind of interesting?
I thought it was just interesting. Again, just another little dot there. Let's continue and then we'll talk about...
Okay, verse 6, we're still talking about this woman. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement.
So now here we have not only the abomination of the spiritual adultery, but we see that there was people killed. Okay, and it's blood of the saints. So if you know any history at all, you'll realize that they actually killed any person that would speak against what they were doing or question some of the things. They would call them a heretic, and they would kill them. Now, this is all documented. This is not, I'm not making this up. And remember, we read in Thyatira where Jesus rebuked them for tolerating that Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we looked and saw how Jezebel actually stole land for her husband, King Ahab. Well, the Universal One World Church did that as well. Jezebel actually killed Naboth.
Yeah.
For his land.
Yeah, had some paid off some false witnesses and did it to make it look legal.
Now, isn't it interesting that Jesus would name her in this church? And then it's absolutely...
Yeah, it's odd that Jezebel name does pop up in Revelation. Here.
That's right. And it's well documented that they did kill many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who questioned any doctrine that was, you know, like maybe the communion or... You know, the re-sacrificing of Jesus every time.
Jezebel, I could remind you from the Old Testament, I'd like to remind you, had something like 400 of God's prophets executed.
Thank you for reminding me. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, so
she does have that blood
associated
with the blood of the saints right there.
Well, this is what the One World Church did at this time. And they worked in cahoots with the king, and the king would okay it and often carried it out unless a Jesuit soldier, which was actually the military for the church, did it first.
So that's what Jesuits started out as?
That's how they started out.
Oh, they were actually soldiers.
The military, yes.
Right, and were they involved in the Inquisition?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they're the ones that would actually do the torture?
They did most of it, I understand. Yeah.
Wow.
And if you go in on the Internet and look up what the even just the oath that they take in the beginning... I don't know whether they take this oath now. I've been told they still take a very similar oath, but it's just mind-boggling.
It's
mind-boggling. It's just awful,
wow.
Actually.
Well, we'll have to check that out.
And if I had time, I would tell you, and maybe we'll do that next week, because next week we're going to close and finish out Babylon, but I might do that. It's just awful.
So
anyway.
That's where this all went. This is what resulted in this.
Right, and you've heard the Inquisitions, like the most famous was in Spain, but there's other nations as well, like France, Rome, various religious wars that many were killed, like in Czechoslovakia and even Jerusalem, the Crusaders, and on it goes.
Yeah, and add to that spiritual fornication or harlotry. I can see why Jesus said, repent or you will be cast into the great tribulation.
Right.
And that's in Revelation 2:22. Now, that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. That you'll be cast into the great tribulation.
Which means
that you're not going to go in the rapture is what that means.
And it also means that the Church of Thyatira is still here to see that event.
Bingo.
Bingo.
That's cool. It would have to be to see that event.
That's exactly right.
Ooh.
Yeah. So now again, the first three churches are past tense, but the last four are all still here today.
Hmm.
We have the Catholic Church, we have the Protestant Church, which is Sardis,
mm-hmm.
we have the Philadelphia Church, which is the truly born-again church,
mm-hmm.
and we have the Church at Laodicea, which is the end-time church that gets into New Age and is lukewarm, and it doesn't feel like you have to bring your Bible to church, you know, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But
that's really cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
Sad, though, because I have, you know,
well, you're tied
a
in
connection
with
there
you
that
have a big connection.
I'm glad I got out of. But there's so many that just don't even know this information.
Mm.
And believe me, you can't stay in a church that has another gospel.
Hmm.
So.
Well, what about this cup we've been talking about?
Oh, yes. I do want to mention about this cup. This cup or this vessel of abominations that the woman is holding. If you look at Numbers 5, it'll show you how a wife was proven to be guilty or not guilty of adultery. And this is how they did it. If the husband is suspicious, he brings the wife to the priest, and he takes holy water and mixes it with dirt to make it bitter. Then he writes the curse of what it will do when she drinks it, if she's guilty. And he writes it on parchment with ink. And when the ink dries, he scrapes the curse into the cup. And when she drinks, if she is guilty, the curse takes effect, and her belly would swell, and her thigh will rot. Her belly, so she cannot have children, which is a curse, and her thigh, because that is how they made an oath. I know men would make oaths in the Old Testament by putting their hand underneath someone's thigh.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that has something to do with it. It just, you know,
I think today we just shake hands.
Yeah, I think we do.
Yeah.
But this is how they do it. So now when you look at the mystery Babylon harlot for spiritual adultery, and she's carrying this cup full of abominations, it kind of connects the dots back to Numbers 5. In fact, I was wondering if we don't have time for to read all of it, verses 11 through 31 in Numbers 5, but if you could just read verse 27 through 29 to verify what I just said.
Oh, okay. Well, this is the Levitical priesthood, right? And this is who this is addressing. When he has made her drink the water, then it shall be, if she has defiled herself and behaved unfaithfully toward her husband, that the water that brings a curse will enter her and become bitter, and her belly will swell, her thigh will rot, and the woman will become a curse among her people. But if the woman has not defiled herself and is clean, then she shall be free and may conceive children. This is the law of jealousy, when a wife, while under her husband's authority, goes astray and defiles herself.
Okay.
Wonder if they actually did this. Did they?
I think so.
Wow.
I think so. What's interesting, though, is that we see the typology in the Mystery Babylon Church in Revelation 17, holding this cup of abominations. Now, when she drinks that cup, her time is done.
Yes.
Because that curse will come through and God will destroy her.
Interesting.
It is very interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. It is a mystery, and it does have some mysterious aspects to it, but you can still understand it.
Mm-hmm. And again, next week we'll probably finish up on that. And I've been getting a few emails also concerning this topic. And
from the Vatican? Or?
Yeah, right. And I've been incorporating some of the answers. I don't know if those of you that sent me them, you might recognize that, but we're going to finish that
good.
Up probably next week.
That's good. Yeah.
And but remember, please, it's not easy to do this because I have people that I know and that I love in the Catholic faith, but if we don't speak out against this heresy and wrongdoing, it's like you are condoning it, allowing it, tolerating it. You know, Paul said something in 2 Corinthians 11, 4, and I'm going to have you read that, John, but pay close attention to what he says.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 11, 4, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel.
And that's it, a different gospel.
Yes, which you have not accepted. I'm afraid you might, well, just go along with it.
Right, and that's the toleration, you see, and that's what he was warning them. You just don't go along with this kind of stuff.
No, this is important.
Yes, very important.
And I think Paul saw that this is what happened when the Israelites mixed their priesthood and their religion with the local Canaanite paganism.
Sure.
And the results were the same.
Right.
People died.
Right.
And God was very, very displeased.
Right. It's a different gospel. You cannot do it. In fact, we're going to talk about some of that before we close. But please, I hope you hear my heart. You need to start telling your friends and family and people that you know these details in love.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll make the right decision.
Because it is a serious subject. I know we kind of joke around, but you kind of have to with a subject.
It's so
like
serious
this.
That
it
you
is
almost
serious.
Don't
yeah.
want to cry.
Yeah.
But, for instance, as in the worshiping of Mary as co-mediatrix. Now, John, read 1 Timothy 2:5 and tell me what it says.
Okay, well, this is 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So he doesn't need a co-mediatrix. He doesn't need a co-mediator. He's got one. I mean,
some
he's the one.
Some have even called her a co-redeemer. Now, I don't know. A lot about that. I haven't studied enough about that. I don't remember that as a kid in school. But the main thing is we're not supposed to be worshiping Mary or praying to her as if she's going to go and get our prayers answered. It's not going to happen.
Well, how about saints, though? I know they pray to saints.
No, that's like praying and calling on dead people, you know, that the Catholic Church decides are saints. That makes you a necromancer.
Well, that's not good.
And that's an abomination, according to Deuteronomy 18:11. And especially if you hear an answer.
Wow.
It's a familiar spirit, not the person it once was. Bible says never do that. Never. People, just do your homework. It's all there. These things are not difficult to find out.
Mm.
Here's the other different gospel. That Jesus didn't do it all on the cross, and we must go to purgatory to pay for our smaller sins. We already mentioned this earlier, but it needs to be repeated. But before we can go to heaven, we go to purgatory to pay for our sins. That is a different gospel.
Yeah, that's an abomination, isn't it?
Big time. Or what about this transubstantiation that Jesus must be re-sacrificed in the Mass and that the bread is his actual body, not just a symbol?
Yeah, and don't they say that babies that aren't baptized into the Catholic Church don't go to heaven if they die, but a place called limbo?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of...
That's absurd. And about doctrine, the Pope is supposedly infallible. He's just a person. He's just a man.
I can tell you right now, there's no such thing as an infallible man.
Right.
That does not exist. One man did that, and it was the
I
man.
I hate to tell you, I agree with that.
Yeah, an infallible man. And, you know, joking or not, that's just, everyone knows that's common sense. Nobody's infallible.
Right.
No one's infallible.
As long as you're human. Only Jesus Christ. But see, they call themselves the Vicar of Christ, and that is...
Christ.
Like an antichrist.
Yeah, because anti doesn't mean opposite. It means,
not always.
Not always. It means counterfeit.
Right. It has two meanings. It can mean either.
Yep.
And all the immorality down through the ages, spawning bastards or engaging in sodomy. And
wow.
I know this because my uncle went into the Catholic seminary and left a homosexual and shacked up with his lover till he died.
He got that because he... Wow, that's just amazing.
You know.
I think of... I do have a relative, a brother-in-law, actually, that I think he was going to Jesuit college or whatever, and he left because of the homosexuality, and he didn't want to be part of that.
Right.
And,
right.
And I think it kind of soured him on any religious ideas after that.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, it just kind of turned him off in a way, and I think that's sad. He's married, of course, now, but, you know, it's just...
Well.
Well, anyway. This has all happened. Let's see, we have the priests as pedophiles, right?
Is that... Well, that's what the latest in the last couple of years has been.
Yeah, that was really swept under the rug, I thought.
Well, the thing about it is they just pay off the victims with parishioners' money, and they seldom go to jail and are usually quietly transferred somewhere else or take an early retirement. But it's no wonder immorality is high on the list. The infallible Pope made celibacy mandatory.
And that's just as the Bible predicted.
It is.
In 1 Timothy 4:3.
Yeah.
And I remember that one specifically. It says, forbidding to marry.
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm.
And it's also a sin if you miss Mass on Sunday, and you must confess your sins to a priest who is the only one who can absolve you.
Sounds like a different gospel to me.
Yes.
This
all
is not,
this stuff.
This is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. No.
After you do your penance of many prayers, mostly to Mary, who was bodily assumed into heaven and is called the Queen of Heaven, we've talked about this in past shows, because it was a title given to the false goddess Semiramis, who had a virgin birth son, and both were worshipped, and people would bow down before their statues and their trees and stuff like that. But just like they do to Mary, and they call her the Queen of Heaven. It's just been moved to her.
Do they bow down in front of her statue?
To Mary's statue?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Hmm.
Yeah. I did it myself when I was in Catholic school. We lit candles to her. We brought her gifts, handmade gifts. They had to be handmade for some reason. Or flowers that we would arrange on Mary Day.
Oh, well, this is all just plain, you know, very plain that this is wrong.
Yeah. So Revelation 18:4 says, come out of her, my people, before you share in her sins and her plagues.
Or have to go through the tribulation.
And that is my call to you today. If you're listening because you're Catholic or you know someone that is, you've got to give them the truth. You just have to. Because bad company corrupts. And mm-hmm. if they stay there, they will be corrupted.
Yes.
And, of course, that applies to friends as well, because that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts. Mm-hmm. You don't do that. You stay with like-minded people that think like you do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are with other people, then you need to always be ready to give the truth.
What about someone that says, oh, I don't really believe it, but my family's always been Catholic, and mm-hmm. I don't want to...
Well, I would say that's about 99%.
Would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say they're probably not a born-again Christian. They need to have Christ.
Well, what if Yeshua is knocking on the door of their heart? They should... I believe he does.
Yeah.
I believe he does. And I've seen some Catholic people. They're really full of God's Spirit.
Well, and when you know this, you can say God is knocking on the door of your heart right now. That's why I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Are you going to open that door?
Yeah. Very good.
So please... tell him to come to the Church of Philadelphia. The Church of Philadelphia escapes the wrath to come. We realize most of you who are listening are not involved or have already come out, such as myself, but you know you should be telling someone to get out. Become truly born again before it's too late. So what if they get mad at you? Would you rather God be mad at you for not telling them the truth? You know, we're all going to stand before him at the Bema judgment. This has nothing to do with salvation. This is what you've done as a Christian, as a born-again Christian. What have you done to help the kingdom? And you will have to answer for all the people that you maybe never said anything to, but should have.
Wow, that's heavy.
I mean, this is very heavy. This is very serious. You need to be a watchman for your neighbor, for your friends, and for your loved ones.
Yeah. Or if you can, you know, just at least try.
That's all God wants you to do. Because he has...
God's pleased with our efforts, and we can start the effort, and he can take the effort that we started, put his own effort to it.
Well, that's right. And not only that, the Holy Spirit is the one that draws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not us.
Right.
We just have to be obedient, and then we will know very soon whether that was one that was supposed to be talked to and would be coming in.
Yeah, if you're not singing the song of salvation, they're not going to hear and respond to that. You know, you have to be saying something, I guess, right?
You have to say something, absolutely.
Say something.
That's what it's all about. That's what he said when he left here. Go and make disciples. Simple. There's nothing
I'm
else.
Sorry, he did
he
say
didn't
that.
Say go join the, you know, the labor unions or the... picket lines. He didn't say to do all that stuff.
No,
now, that's fine if that's what you feel like you are being called to do.
Mm-hmm.
But number one is salvation, salvation, salvation. I don't know how many times I can say it.
Mm-hmm.
Lost souls need to find Christ, or they will be lost forever.
Or they will become tribulation saints.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, at least be telling him about that. So
yes.
They'll know what to do and not follow the Antichrist.
Well, it's very clear that if you're involved in this mystery, if you're involved with this Babylon, which is this Thyatira that's evolved into the huge one-world church, if you're involved in that when the rapture does come.
Right, and it won't just be the Catholic Church. It'll be anyone that's left behind. Now, remember, the Church of Sardis, they didn't get a good recommendation. We're going to talk about that next week.
Yes,
even though they left
should.
The church, they miss the Holy Spirit, so that's a problem too. You know, the only one that's really leaving is the Church of Philadelphia.
Okay.
And that's where you want to be.
And the Church of Philadelphia is a church that has its first love, and it's continuing in the love of the Lord, and correct? Okay.
But the main thing is that there was a breakaway. Okay, we have a remnant that pulled away in the 15:17, I believe it was, when we have two men that rose up to challenge the church of Thyatira, John Wycliffe, who translated the Bible into English, and John Huss, who, after reading the Bible, was thrown into prison for 8 months, and then the church burned him at the stake.
Wow.
In about 1415, before the Reformation, for heresy.
He was part of the church at Sardis, wasn't he?
No, he, well, yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He, but he didn't ever get to go there.
No, he never
this
got
happened
to,
just before.
No, he was an honorary member, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Then what after that came?
Martin Luther, of course. And I just want to tell you, there's a book by Hunt named The Woman Rides the Beast. It has a lot of history in it if you want to read that. But we've got to leave, and we're going to be back next week for to finish off the churches, tell you a little bit about everything, and talk a little more about Mystery Babylon. And
do you think we might wrap it up?
I'm hoping.
Okay, well, glad you joined us tonight. If Jesus is Lord over your whole... I want to ask you, is Jesus Lord over your whole life? Or do you just have the head knowledge and not really the heart conviction? It's easy to repent. You can just get on your knees and ask him into your life. You can tell him about the sins that you know that are bothering you, and they're weighing you down. The sin is weighing you down. You don't have to live that way. You can give it all to the one that can take it and the one who paid for it all on the cross, and that is Yeshua, our Savior. Remember, it's always your choice to choose where you want to spend eternity. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul goes when you die, and that's eternity or the other place. Okay?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And, of course, and then go out and fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do and go make disciples.
Okay, the blessing in Hebrew.
All right. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next week. Shalom.
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 Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word.